Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So politics, as we know, may make strange bedfellows, but really, can a top marriage for putting together unlikely pairings? And while the topic of marriage and family is frequently found in women's magazines and on Oprah, I am joined now by James Braley, who is appearing in his one-man play, I emphasize man, Life in a Marital Institution, now at the Soho Playhouse. Welcome back to WNYC, James.
Thank you so much.
Do you think men should spend more time talking about marriage and kids? You know, usually this kind of thing, it's a woman's show.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I was looking for a director of the show, I thought, I need a woman. And then I realized, you know, in fact, I need a man, because I grew up with a woman. I grew up with a single mother. And when I met my director, Hal Brooks, who's fabulous, I thought, I have no idea how to talk to you. We need to talk. And as I got to know him better, I thought, yeah, you know, men can benefit from it because it's fun.
And you're married to a woman. Let's hear a short excerpt from the show, a little over a minute. This is an excerpt taken from your website, jamesbraley.com.
I'm in my underwear, sitting on the edge of the inflatable kiddie pool, suspending Susan by her armpits. She's naked and screaming, oh my God, at little baby Owen, is naked and screaming back at her, suspended by his armpits, by the home birth midwife, while the labor support doula circles around the four of us, taking pictures. When Oliver rushes in from the babysitter in the other room and asks, does the baby have a wiener? No amniocentesis. And I start doing the new dad math. 10 toes, 1 wiener, 10 fingers, 2 ears, 2 eyes, a mouth, check, 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 but a mouth that doesn't breathe right, just like Oliver, meaning Owen's going to need to go to the hospital, just like Oliver, sending Susan back to the Buddhist grief counselor, and quite possibly over the edge, taking me with her. Right, after Oliver was born, Susan would lie in bed at night, staring out the window in despair, saying, he was in an incubator, James, alone. Which is where they put premature babies with penis problems, so you can bring them home alive. I'd say, but he's healthy, Susan, trying to cheer her up. Right? And I cannot take 2 more years of being the happy husband. She's supposed to be the happy one in the relationship, right? I am the one who gets to be filled with bottomless despair. So we all decide, for our various reasons, the prudent course with Owen is wait and see.
That was really good. I hadn't heard that before. That was really funny.
Yeah, thank you.
And all turns out well for baby Owen in real life, right?
It does. It turns out very well. He's actually out in the green room right now, totally healthy.
How old is baby Owen at this point?
He just turned 7 3 days ago.
All right. And so from that clip, it's clear that you and your wife don't see eye to eye on some things. Buddhist grief counselors, maybe the doula and the home birth. I hear there was a little self-weaning involved, which kept your kids on breastfeeding for a lot longer than other kids do it.
They had homework and were bilingual by the time they said that they'd prefer to not unbutton her blouse and breastfeed. Yes, exactly. We did have some differences of opinion.
And is that sort of what this is about? You know, is this show about your – here, we have a post from a listener. Oh, from Forest Hills writes, marriage is nothing but the end of tranquility and the beginning of quarrels. You're not that cynical, are you?
No, I'm not that cynical. It's about a couple of things. One, it's just, from my perspective at least, it's funny and very dark stories in some cases. But from another perspective, it's kind of how far will you go to try to keep it together with somebody else? Differences could be about anything. In this case, it happens to be about home birth and eating human organs. And but the larger issue is how wide a gap are you willing to bridge to have a home? How badly do you need a home?
Is this show about your ambivalence about marriage?
It's set, believe it or not, because it's a very humorous and yet dark piece. It's set in a hospice during my sister's deathbed wedding. And that forms the context for a reminiscence about my own marriage.
Deathbed wedding?
Deathbed wedding in a hospice. And it goes back and forth from the hospice to my own marriage. You know, scenes from a marriage, my marriage, and scenes from my sister's deathbed wedding. My parents are there. Until the worlds collide at the end.
Till death do us part.
Exactly.
Did that really happen, the deathbed marriage?
Oh, yes. It's all true. It happened to happen to me just because it happened to me. It's not therapy, and it's not. I use my autobiographical experiences, as an opportunity to explore other ideas.
I picked up in the clip this idea that you're supposed to be, what is it? I'm supposed to be the depressed one, and you're supposed to be the happy one. That was your line,
right?
That's
right. You're supposed to be the happy one in the relationship. I'm the one who gets to be filled with bottomless despair, right? Fixed identities. There was truth to that.
And you flipped over time?
Yeah.
Switch places?
That's right. That's right. And this is one of the things that happens in a long-term relationship. You do switch places. And one of the challenges of a long-term relationship is that there's an institutional memory of the mistakes that you've made along the way.
We have a few minutes for calls. Let's open the phones here. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Have you seen James Braley's one-man play, Life in a Marital Institution? And maybe you want to call and just say, what's the biggest thing that became central to your marriage that you didn't expect when you got married? What changed? He went from being the more depressed one, to being the less depressed one. What's the biggest thing?
Or relatively happier. I'm actually pretty happy now.
212-433-WNYC. What's the thing you didn't expect when you got married? 212-433-9692.
It can take, in my case, maybe $75,000 in psychotherapy, $25,000 in marriage counseling bills, and 23 years of soul searching to be happier. Plus, I sold my apartment and lived in the storage unit for 3 years. That was hugely transforming.
In the show, you mentioned 13 couples counselors?
Yes.
Did you go to 13 couples counselors?
I did. We did. Now, in some cases, only for one time. It didn't take more than one session to decide that it wasn't going to work. When I found myself brokering a negotiation between my wife and the marriage counselor, explaining each to the other, I knew that relationship was going to be short-lived.
What did you get from the marriage counseling that maybe did work?
Well, what the marriage counseling confirmed was, yes, in fact, it's just as difficult as you think it is. Nothing's going to change through thought, and we can talk about it indefinitely, but in fact, you're right. Now, deal with it. So the marriage counselor was just kind of a confirmation of what I was experiencing.
And I should correct the pronunciation of your name. It's James Brawley.
It's James Brawley. That's right.
There's no Brawley. W in there, though.
There's no W.
It's B-R-A-L-Y.
B-R-A-L-Y. Yeah, the W got brokered out years ago.
What was the biggest surprise for you in marriage? What didn't you expect?
I didn't expect to be married to somebody who condoned eating human organs, for example.
What do you mean? A meat eater?
No. Human organs.
Oh, human organs.
Human organs.
Human organs.
Yes. Yeah, there's a part of the show, one of the scenes in the show.
Wife's a cannibal?
Well, not exactly. It depends on what your position is towards eating human placentas.
Oh, placenta.
Yes. That is
this is the save the baby's placenta thing because it's good for the baby.
Yes, because to burn it as medical waste is kind of profligate in some enlightened circles. Wherever you see smoke coming from a medical waste incinerator, you're seeing profligacy in some enlightened circles.
And you moved from Manhattan to the suburbs, but it sounds like you found a very unusual suburb.
To the country. Well, initially, I sold my apartment. It was on Central Park West. The day I moved out was the day I moved into the storage unit in the building. I kept the lease on that and moved my wife and children to upstate New York to kind of a leftist biosphere based on the anthroposophical principles of Rudolf Steiner. They bury their placentas up there. Some of them eat them. And, it's an interesting community. It's not very funny, but it's very earnest, and it's beautiful.
So on the question, what's the thing you didn't expect when you got married, Anina in Manhattan is calling in. Anina, hello.
Hi. Well, I didn't expect let me preface this by saying I'm no longer married to this person, my husband.
I'm sorry, or congratulations, whichever applies.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a bit of both.
A little of both. But when tomorrow would have been our 25th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
But I digress. Anyway, but I guess the thing I was surprised about was to the extent to which I had to basically bury myself.
I thought you were going to say your placenta.
Alas, no, there was no placenta. This was a placental
bury yourself.
Cliff.
Well, where were you going to go with that? Because we shouldn't have to bury ourselves in order to have a workable marriage, right?
And I know, and I don't want to place the blame on. No, this is not therapy. Anyway, but no, we shouldn't have to. But some people have a tendency to do that to keep a certain kind of peace. And you fool yourself into thinking that that peace is real, and then there's a subterranean lack of peace happening that ultimately is a geyser. And
you start to live a secret life.
It's a complex thought, but I think a lot of people are probably identifying
with
it right now.
I think that's true.
Anina, thank you. Liz in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz. You also have what you didn't expect when you got married?
I think we all have what we don't expect when we get married. I think the thing that I really liked about James's piece was that he really clearly came back to, you know, in the conclusion of the story, the fact that he chose this woman because he loved her.
I have to go. Liz, I'm sorry to do this to you, but your line is just so, so bad. But I think she's saying that you came to accept changes in your spouse over time and that she admires you for that.
Yeah, well, one of the themes that runs through the piece is how far will you go to accept the differences between the two?
And ultimately, you've had, what, 20 years? You have a subtitle at 20 years of monogamy, something like that?
20 years of monogamy in one terrifying hour.
In one terrifying hour. The play is 1 hour
it's
only?
65 minutes.
65 minutes. So, yes. All right. Well, 20 years of monogamy in one terrifying hour from James Brawley. Now at the Soho Playhouse. It's called Life in a Marital Institution.
Yes, and Life ends on August 31st. It's playing through the rest of the summer. Just around the corner here. It's on Van Damme. More information at lifeinamaritalinstitution.com.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.